Good morning. We are beginning this new series called Get It in the Game, and it is about volunteering. It's about getting into doing what God has called us to do as the church. God has never called the church to get saved and just come and worship from time to time. He's called us to get involved and to do ministry. And so today, I want to talk a little bit about just kind of give an overview of getting into the game. years ago, I was probably in probably junior high-ish. I've always had this body type. I've put on a little more weight since I was in junior high, but I've always had this body type, and this body type has never been made for athletics, right? You don't have to agree. And so this body type is not made for athletics unless maybe you're throwing a shot put or something. But in junior high, I played little dribblers, basketball. And one year, we had two teams in my age bracket. And so the team I was on had the better players. I wasn't the better player, but our team had the better players. And so we won like 9 out of 10 games, if we didn't go undefeated. I don't remember exactly. The other team had one really good player. And for some reason, we had all-stars that year. And so basically what they did is they took the team I was on and the one good guy from the other team, and that was the all-star team. So that's the only time in my life I've ever been on all-stars. And so I'm on an all-star team, which I don't deserve to be on, and we go and we're going to play a game. Now, at that time, when we played our regular games, you had this rotation thing where, a lot like today, where you understood that you got to play at least a quarter, right? You know, you're not the best, you didn't play the first quarter, but, you know, they were going to get you in by the second or third quarter. And so we go and we're playing all-star basketball, and I don't remember exactly where we were, but we were not in Basile, and the first quarter comes in, I'm not playing. I have no expectation of playing, and then the second quarter comes, and I don't get put in, and then there's halftime, and then the third quarter comes, and I ask the coach, I'm like, hey, am I going to get to play? And he's like, not right now. And so I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm overcome with emotion, and I begin to weep, and I cry, and because I cry, the coach puts me in the game. But the point is this, I'm overcome with emotion, and I cry because all I wanted to do was play. I wanted to get in the game. I wanted to play basketball. I wasn't great. I had no expectations of getting a scholarship to play basketball in high school. But you know what? I was on the team, and I wanted to get in the game. When it comes to our Christian life, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you become a member of His family, we should have a passion to get into the game. And what I mean by the game is ministry. When I was in college, I took intro to ministry. And my teacher made this statement, and she would say it over and over again. Ministry is meeting needs. The very simple definition of ministry is meeting needs. And so how do we meet needs? As a church, we want to give you opportunities to meet needs. And some of those are on Sunday morning, whether it's through teaching a Sunday school or maybe helping in the booth with sound or with the computer or maybe being an usher or help move things around. We can come up with we've got lots of places we can plug you in. But we also want to plug you in on doing things in outreach. And so we want to plan some events in the coming year where we're going to serve our community and try to get the gospel out. And we need volunteers. And we need a variety of volunteers. And over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack some of these different personalities of volunteers. And hopefully you begin to see exactly where you may fall in. But I want to talk about getting in the game. Some of you, you don't do ministry. And the reason why most people don't do ministry is for one of two reasons. One is you feel you have failed. You've tried ministry, you've tried doing something, you've tried teaching, you've tried being at a youth event, or you've tried helping in children's church or with children, and you're like, I failed. I'm not cut out for this, so I can't do anything. I forget, I don't know if he'll let me say this, but I'll say it anyway. Years ago, Keith was helping with children's church, and one of the kids punched him in the face. And so Keith's like, I'm out. He got pulled back in. But it's fun. You know, you're like, I don't ever want to be in children's church because kids abuse me. It's weird. It's understandable. You're like, I failed. I can never do this job. Maybe you feel like you failed in ministry. And you're like, I can't do this at all. Maybe you feel like ministry failed you. Like maybe you wanted to do ministry and nobody picked you to be on the team. Or maybe you wanted to do something and you just were never able to do it. And you feel like ministry failed you. You weren't able to minister at this one particular point in time, and so you're never going to do it again. Over the next few weeks, we want to kind of reset that. Maybe you've had a bad experience. Maybe you've been burnt out. Burnout in church happens a lot where you do it and you do it well, but we don't replicate ourselves. And everybody's like, well, they do it well, so I'm not going to try to do their job. And you just burn yourself out. And you quit. So maybe it's time to get back into the game. So let's reset some expectations of ministry. Let's reset what ministry may look like. And I want to help you get back in the game. The basis of this whole series, the basic verse, is coming from Ephesians chapter 4. And it's a verse we've talked about. It's the idea of when Paul's writing in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11 through verse 13, Paul says this. He says, and he, being God, he personally gave some to be apostles. Today we would call those people missionaries. Because apostle means sent out. And we sent out our missionaries. So he gave some to be apostles. He gave some to be missionaries. He gave some to be prophets. He gave some to be evangelists. He gave some to be pastors and teachers. Now you say, well, maybe I don't fall into any of those categories, and that's okay, because this is why. He gave those people so that, in verse 12 it says, for the training, or maybe your version says, for the equipping of the saints. That's you. For the equipping of the saints, for the equipping of the church, for the equipping of those who believe in the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ fullness. So he gave us apostles, and he gave us evangelists, and he gave us prophets, and he gave us pastors and teachers so that these people can train or equip or to release ministry to the church. And so the idea is that the job of leadership in the church is to train everybody else to do ministry. Now, most of us have this mindset of, don't we pay a pastor to do that? And what we really want is chaplains, where we call on them and we say, do this, this, and this. We don't say train us. We don't say give us ministry. We don't say equip us. We just want you to take care of our needs. We just want you to preach to us. We just want you to go out and build the church up, and it's all on you. The problem is none of that is biblical. What's biblical is that the church, the people, you sitting in the chairs today, you are to go out and do ministry. And the job of leadership is to train you, to equip you, to release you. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about different ways you can do it. And we want to unleash you next year and to do the work of ministry and to volunteer. So what I want to do today is give you three principles of how you can get in the game, or three principles about getting in the game, rather. Not how you get in, but getting in the game. And so we're going to be in Philippians for these three different principles. So if you want to go to Philippians, the first one is Philippians 2, verse 2, and then we'll jump to chapter 3. Okay? Principle 1 is this. Ministry should be fun. Ministry should be fun. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says, fulfill my joy, thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. Let me read that to you again. Fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. In a word, we would wrap that up and say unity. Fulfill my joy by being unified. Fulfill my joy by having the same passions, by having the same goals, by having the same desires. Fulfill my joy. Paul is saying this, teaching the Philippian church. And so it should be joyful when we do ministry. We should have fun doing ministry. And in order for ministry to be the most fun, we've got to have a goal. We got to know where we're going. We got to know why we're doing this. And so each different ministry outreach or each ministry event will have a different goal. For example, teaching Sunday school is a different goal than going out and doing trunk or treat, right? There's a different goal in that. And so if we understand the goal, if we understand the process, if we understand what we're trying to get to, we can have fun doing it. So we've got to be unified. And when we are unified, when we have a goal, you will find joy in your work. But here's the deal. Conflict will happen. Conflict happens, and it will cause you problems. Conflict happens, and you will want to run away. Conflict happens, and you cannot prevent it because you can't control other people. Conflict will happen, and you don't know when it's coming. You just know that it is coming. And here's the deal. You can't control it, but you can control how you respond. You want to know one of the best ways of preventing conflict? It comes in six simple words. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? It's a ministry. It's a servant mentality where this is not about me. It's how can I serve? It's being selfless. It's trying to love on other people. It's trying to put others first. How can I do something for you? And when you do that, conflict seems to go down. How can I serve you? How can I take care of your needs? What can I do for you? So here's the big idea I want us to take away from point one, or principle number one. We should be spirit-filled. We should have spirit-filled joy and it should define the outcome of your efforts. So Spirit-filled joy should define the outcome of your efforts. Everything you do should be because you are filled with joy, and that is from the Spirit, and it helps you understand what your efforts will be. Ministry is hard work, though. You need to recognize that. It's not something that's easy. It's not something that we do flippantly. It's not something that we just come and say, hey, I'm here. I'm going to walk around and I'm going to call it ministry. No, ministry is hard work, but it should be something that we love to get to do. It should be something we love to give our life away for. Ministry should be fun, but it should also be fruitful, which brings us to principle number two. Ministry should be fruitful. In Philippians chapter 3, if you go to verse 12 and beginning in verse 13, Paul makes a statement. Paul's talking about ministry. He's talking about living the life of a believer. He's talking about giving his life away. He's talking about living a life that is fruitful for God. And he makes this statement. He says, not that I have already reached the goal. Paul's saying, I've not already reached the goal. I'm not perfect. I'm striving, but I'm not reached the goal of all my ministry yet. And he says, I'm not already mature. Again, we like, Paul, if anybody in the Bible is mature besides Jesus, it's you. You've got it all together, right? Paul's saying, no, I don't. He says, I take every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. He says, so I'm reaching to grow. I'm reaching to be fruitful, but I've not made it yet. And he goes on to say, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. He says, forgetting what is behind me, and I reach forward. I pursue the prize, which is the promise of God. So Paul's saying, look, I don't look behind me, I go forward. And so the idea is that ministry needs to be fruitful. If we're not doing this, if we're not doing ministry to be fruitful, we are wasting our time. Fruitful ministry, however, is not perfect. Let me say it again. Fruitful ministry is not perfect. You will never teach the perfect lesson. You will never do the perfect outreach event. You will never do it perfectly. There is always something else you could have done. I've never preached the perfect sermon. I've never taught the perfect class. But here's the idea, is that it's not going to be perfect, but it is going to be productive. Not perfect, but productive means we're making way. We're reaching toward the goal. We're reaching forward so that we can get the prize. And so in order to do that, you've got to have ownership. You've got to buy in. You've got to say, I am a minister. Maybe not vocationally. Maybe I don't get paid to do ministry, but I am a minister because God said so. And so this is my ministry. I have ownership in it. I care about it. I care about the outcomes. I care about how it's done. And ownership doesn't mean you do it all alone, but ministry is designed for us to share it and give it away. So we do ministry and we teach others to do ministry with us. And we give it away. So again, let's take our Sunday school teacher example. Sunday school teachers, get somebody you can give your class to. Give it away, and we want you to start another one. Then again, get somebody who can teach it and give it away and start a new one. Or maybe take a break. But the point is that we give it away. We have ownership of it. We love it. We care for it. And then we give it to others. Same thing in any other aspect of ministry. We want you to learn it, and we want you to go get somebody else to do it with you, and we want you to give it away. So here's the big idea. The best ministries grow. Now, we're not putting a time frame on this, but we do know that they grow. However, not everything that counts can be counted. What do I mean by that? We can't really count your maturity. We can count how many times you show up, but we can't count how that changes you. We can't count your stability. We can't count your passion. We can't count a host of other things. But as it grows, as ministry grows, you grow, but we just can't count everything, and that's okay. That's good, actually, that you are changing and you are growing as you are doing ministry. You're being fruitful, and you're giving it away. Here's the third principle. Ministry's fun, yes. Ministry's fruitful, should be. But here's the one that may throw you for a loop. Ministry should fail. You're like, whoa, hold on. Time out. What do you mean ministry should fail? Paul continues his statement. He said, but one thing I do, I forget what's behind me, and I reach forward to pursue the prize by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. I forget what's behind me. I forget all the success I had. Forget all the failure I had. Ministry should fail because here's the deal. The times in life when you learn most is when you messed up. Right? If you're always right on, you're not really going to learn a lot. But when you mess up, you realize, well, we probably shouldn't have did that because of this, this, or this. And so as ministry grows and as we evaluate it and as we fail, we learn. And we grow. And so if we're not failing, that means we're not trying hard enough. If we're not failing at some things, we're not trying hard enough. We've got to fail. We've got to evaluate. But here's the deal. You can't give up. You got to recover. You don't just fail and say, throw my hands up. I'm never doing ministry again. Again, some of you may have done that. That may have happened to some of you. And it's time to get back in the game. And so God has called us to do great things, and we are going to fail at some of those. And it is okay as long as we recover, as long as we continue to go forward. Remember, we're not perfect. And recovery exists because perfection doesn't. We've got to recover, we've got to fix things because we're not perfect. And again, that's okay. But we can't just fail and not recover. If you've ever been part of a ministry that's never failed, then you never appreciate success. If you've never failed, you never really appreciate success. It's kind of like that kid who never appreciates his toys until he pays for them. Then all of a sudden he wants to take care of that toy. All of a sudden he has pride in that toy. All of a sudden he's put something into that toy that makes that toy worth more to him. And that's the thing with ministry. As we put ourselves into it and maybe it doesn't work, as we take ownership of it and it doesn't work, we recover and we appreciate the times when it does work. We appreciate the times when God uses us to do really great things. And we also appreciate the times when we fail and God teaches us in the process. A guy by the name of William O'Brien wrote this poem. And you're probably much more familiar with the second stanza than you are the first stanza. But I want to read the first stanza to you. In William F. O'Brien's poem, he writes this. He says, "Some say risk nothing, try only for the sure thing. Others say nothing gambled, nothing gained. Go out for your dream. Life can be lived either way. But for me, I'd rather try and fail than never try at all. I'd rather try and fail than never try at all." Part of failure is evaluation. So we're going to be looking at how we did things. Did we do them right? Did we do wrong? What did we learn? What did we not learn? So here's the big idea of point number three. It's a prize, it's worth nothing if it did not involve a little risk. A prize is worth nothing if it did not involve a little risk. So this is what we want you to do. We want you to risk big for God, to see Him do more with your life because you trusted Him. We want you to risk big for God and see what He can do with your life because you trust Him. You've given it to Him. You are going to get in the game. So today, as we close up, I want to encourage you to think through these ideas. Ministry should be fun. Ministry should be fruitful. Ministry should fail because I'm trying to do big things that are probably beyond me, but God can bless them and God can teach me through them. So are you ready to get in the game? Are you ready to get off the bench? Get off the pine? In the next few weeks, we're going to define some of these different personalities. We're going to be looking at some Bible characters that kind of show us how we could be volunteers and the aspects of them that show us characteristics of who we could be or what areas we can volunteer in. And I'm excited about that. I pray that over the next few weeks that you pray how God can use you in His church. Job of the leadership, remember, is to equip or to train up the saints. If you're a believer, you're a saint for the work of ministry. Let me pray for you. We'll sing a song and we'll be dismissed. Will you stand? God, thank you so much for this day. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you want us involved in ministry. We thank you that you care about how we do ministry, how we do the things you have called us to do. And so, Father, I pray that today that we would get in the game, that we would become fully invested in what it is you want us to do. That we would sell out for you. That we would trust you in the big things and see what you could do with our life. In your name we pray. Amen.